You can slowly, mindfully come out your meditation. So I purposely save about 15 to 16 minutes so that we have more time for the Bodhisattva vow. There are still quite a few who are new, so I need to brief you all longer. So let the online people know that we are going to start soon. Okay, let us recite the salutation to the Triple Gem. Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādhemi bhau Svākato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi Okay. So, as I have explained this morning, today is a very auspicious day. Although it's day 5 of our retreat, 28 April 2025, Monday, but it also coincides with the new moon day or the first lunar calendar day, where the temple also has its chanting and celebration. And it so happened our taking of the Bodhisattva vow and precepts also coincide with this day. So it's rather auspicious. So now I will brief you. You turn to this blue book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. This book is based on the direct transcript from all the 4 recorded talks that I delivered on the topic Walking the Bodhisattva Way and the Taking of His Vow. So this book is very important. Go back, read it many times. And last night, I think Sister Padmasuri came and requested from me, since we have this auspicious occasion, we will generate a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of merits, a lot of very unique cultivation paramis. So he will say, if can, we delegate all these merits to some Kayamitas who has passed away, and the other one is Kamlan, sister that helped us in the kitchen and cooking. The mother, I think, also passed away recently. Then later on, you can include your departed ones, whomever you want to share merits, you can do. Then generally, we will transfer these merits to all beings. Okay, now turn to page 73, third paragraph, 73. The blue book. Okay. So the third paragraph. It is said that by receiving the Bodhisattva precept, one generates a vast amount of merits. That's why you must bear this in mind. Yeah, page 73. The blue book. What is your book? Same one. Third, we now turn to page 32. Okay, I read again. Because this one, we now turn to page 32, is somebody else's book. That is the Fagusanon book. So it's mentioned by the Sun Yan Pastor. He got it from one source. He said, it is said that by receiving the Bodhisattva precept, one generates a vast amount of merit. So that's why you must bear this in mind. And why? So don't underestimate that taking the vow like, wow, burden, takes so long. Forget about it. The moment you develop the resolve and plant the seed of Bodhi and even go through the first stage of Bodhi mind development, you already planted a vast amount of merit. But this Bodhisattva precept is not like ordinary 5 precepts, 8 precepts, 10 precepts, or even monk's precept. Yeah, that's for the sainthood way, even the nuns. This one you carry over life after life, over millennium, aeons and aeons, until you fulfill the perfection. And the reason why is, you listen, eh? This can be understood as follow. When you take the Bodhisattva precept, a seed is planted. And what is this seed? The Bodhi seed. Planted deep in your consciousness, because this seed has been planted for the benefits of all sentient beings. The natural consequence of its maturation, as you nurture it by keeping the Bodhisattva precept, is a growth in compassion and a weakening in your propensity to do harm. With sustained practice, there naturally arises in you a tendency towards wholesome action. As you go through life, acting on the basis of love and compassion. That's why the first basic vow of the Bodhisattva is you vow with love and compassion to take across all living beings, the innumerous living beings, to the other shore. So this love and compassion is the pure mind that will be generated for you to take rebirth. That's how it's done. You will come to experience a sense of security and stability. But as you do this, you develop a lot of joy because you're not only going that path, doing that cultivation. You know very well in between all these beings that you vow to save, many, many of them will finally become enlightened beings and Sammasambuddha. That's why the Buddha said, every living being, they have a Buddha nature. It's only when they realize it. You look at the Angulimala Sutta. Angulimala, that life, killed 991, he still become an arahant. And if he has the causes and conditions, he can also become a Sammasambuddha. So all this, when you understand, you will know the efficacy of taking these Bodhisattva precepts. Why is this so? Because quite simply, you are no longer living your life in an obsessive, self-centered, self-concerned way, where you always worry about your own well-being and feeling constantly threatened and insecure. But when you vow with the Bodhisattva vow, you become different. The first vow of the Bodhisattva within the 4 basic vows is to save living beings and take them all across. That love and compassion will result in you weakening the self, weakening the ego, the sakyadity. Then you can sacrifice. But you by then, later on in the course of your cultivation, you know this form of mind is not real, not what you are, but only a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for you to come to do whatever you like to do. Fulfill your vow, develop further the cultivation understanding, or carry out whatever wholesomeness that are beneficial to society, to mankind, so that you can be a blessing to all. That is what the Bodhisattva precept is all about. The Bodhisattva vows are all about. Then the other three vows is to make you perfect and make you more capable in going this way. Then all of your undertaking, cultivation, will bring forth tremendous merits, wholesomeness and parami. That's why the moment you have a chance to receive this Bodhisattva precept and develop the resolve to go this way, you generate a vast amount of merits. The cultivator of the way, they know. Only living being doesn't know. So bear this in mind. Eh? So I read on. Now you understand why the Theravada way has problem. As your life is dedicated to others, you become less and less concerned with your own personal gain and personal benefit. Your own personal gain or loss is no longer important. And because you, before you have the understanding, most of these Theravada tradition cultivator, they have not relinquished Sakkaya Ditthi. So they have this concern. And most of their concern are regarding personal benefit, gain and loss. Consequently, they get into trouble. But if you become the Bodhisattva, you will have less and less concern about personal benefit, gain or loss. Because you have that Bodhi mind, that heart, that love and compassion to do the work. That's why consequently, you no longer live in fear and cease to be agitated or plated by suffering and vexation, which are all caused by self-attachment, because you come for the living being. So you come for the living being is very powerful. That is love and compassion. Keep that in mind. You come to this world is not for yourself, for others. So when you do that, okay, you come from the living being, no more about you. The delusion means Sakkaya Ditthi, self-delusion, is severe. And this is very important. You achieve stability of mind. The stability and security you so experience then create in turn an atmosphere of stability and security around people. Means people around you who are palpable. As a person that is palpable to other sentient beings, they feel safe around you. True or not? Huh? Around me, you feel safe or not? You think I will cheat you, swindle you, scam you, and do all the nonsense to you? You look at them, they are different. Even this retreat, actually I no need to pay for my share, but I teach here. But I still pay, why? Because I realize this year we want to raise more money for offering and I can afford. That's why you ask Sui An or Brother Song. I include my share this year. Every year they tell me, Brother Teo, no need, no need. You already sacrificed so much to come and teach. I say, never mind. Then the early years, I think most of the time they tell me, don't pay. But this year I purposely pay. Understand? So you have to have the ability to observe a person. Like Xuanhua said, you want to know he is a true cultivator or not. he is wise or not. You look at him, got greed or not, got selfishness or not, yeah? Got all those cunningness, scheme and all those things or not. If they are very sincere, very true to themselves and to others, then they are willing to share this understanding free so that other people understand. And the reason why I do it is I use a Kayamita fund together with the Kayamita who understand, who volunteer their service. By generating all this, you develop a lot of parami for your own self. And also the Kayamita Common Fund will help Kayamita force to move. And in doing so, you contribute to society, to the Kayamita community, to the sasana. And this is service, one of the 10 meritorious actions. And all these are formulated so that we don't have to actually, like normal people, go and ask for money here and there, and then try to do all this wholesome thing. No need. And in fact, Kayamita Fund, you can ask Sui An, Stephanie, and those who help me to do. I never go and ask people to donate, no. You know how to do. But a lot of them initially come want to donate to me. I say, no. Even you donate to me, I donate to Kayamita Fund for your own good, for your own benefit and well-being. So this is the understanding. When I was in Singapore, also same. I think T.K. Chan, he hold a house down there. Then he make offering. Then I told them, all this will go to Kayamita Fund. That's why after that, they keep on calling Sui An, donate to Kayamita Fund. And because he from Singapore, he every time gets Sui An to contact Sui. Then later he knows Sui. Sui work in Singapore, got a lot of Sing dollar. So he collect the Sing dollar, convert ringgit for them. Then now the nephew there, the nephew want to change Sing dollar to ringgit, he also can change. Now he got ringgit also. So this is what synergy is. And she gave them very good exchange rate. Not like Chetia or those money changer must have margin on. Otherwise, it also livelihood. Okay, luckily I saved the 16 minutes. Otherwise, I cannot share with you all this. Okay, I read on. That's why when you are around me, you feel good, isn't it? You feel safe, isn't it? And confident, isn't it? And can you trust me? Then you can grow in your loudly. Are you doing that and benefiting from that? So you will have this ability when you go this way. You want to do this work or not? Well, this is something that the parami is beyond people's understanding and comprehension. Not only you are a blessing to all, you yourself generate the ability to make people feel confident, good. That is giving of happiness, no? Understand, no? Giving of security, helping people to overcome the first noble truth, suffering, and give them confidence. That is what bodhisattva do. That's what great beings do. Then for the Buddha, they come for the living being. It's the same. You as a bodhisattva also, you come for the living being. So that self, slowly, slowly, through the cultivation, diminish. And they can sacrifice, they can do. You look at the Buddha in the Jataka story. The tigress, because of the calf injured, he sacrificed himself, jump, offer as food. And many incidents. So all this, when you go this way, you will develop understanding, okay? Then I read on. then people can feel you. Is it correct? I was here and that. So you will have this ability when you go to the house. Okay, then people can feel you. They feel safe around you because you out of genuine compassion and love. Never intend to harm them, but only try to be of help. They also feel a sort of joy in your presence. True or not? How are you? They feel safe with you. They can trust you. They have faith in you. Ah, sadhu. Thus, in an immediate and very concrete way, after receiving the Bodhisattva precept, you are benefiting sentient being, a deed that generates a vast amount of merits. True or not? Ayo. And some more you don't want. And it is in this way that we undertake the practice of the three sets of pure precept. Here is mentioned third set of pure precept to deliver all sentient beings. The observance of this precept actualizes our intention as put forth in the four great vows of the Bodhisattvas and set us decisively and firmly on the Bodhisattva path. By now, I hope you understand where this is most important. Please make a note of it. So read through this paragraph, this few paragraph, when you are at home. Understand it. Then generate the resolve. Because this is something money cannot buy. This is something you cannot receive if you don't have the condition and affinity to come across the true Buddha Dhamma, the true teaching. By now, I hope you understand because this is the most important. Please make a note of it. Okay, we covered that. Then we will continue on page 35. That one is that book, not this book. On violation of precept. So you don't worry, you know. People say, "Ayo, Bodhisattva way so long. What if I break?" Don't worry. You know, in the sutta is mentioned, who are the people who breaks their precept? Only Bodhisattva. That's all. You're for eons, eons, eons. They cultivate and do that. How can they keep order? So it's bound to happen. But you don't worry. It doesn't mean that you break one time, out you go. No more chance, like entrance exam. Not like that, understand? No. This one is for eons and eons and eons. And you learn. Every time something happens, you learn. Understand or not? Like the saying goes, who doesn't make mistake in this world? Got anybody? Before you know, so you don't make it, you break a lot, make a lot of mistakes. Right? But after you know, sometimes you also make mistakes. Right? So why you worry? But don't take that as an excuse. Understand? But you will know as you take this way. So I read to you this part, violation of precept. That's why I take it in. The three sets of pure precept and the four great vows once received by a practitioner are maintained across however many lifetimes it will take for the recipient to attain complete enlightenment. Once the seed of compassion and wisdom, also known as the essence of the precept, has been sown or planted in the mind of the practitioner through the transmission of the Bodhisattva precept, it will remain in the recipient's storehouse consciousness or alaya consciousness in your deep nature and can only be cast off through the recipient's express declaration of his or her intention to abandon the bodhi mind. Nobody will do that, understand? If they do that, means they are not destined for this way. That's why you can still do that's why you can still do it, do that if you want to in the future. This is for people who play safe one. Scared go in already, cannot come out. Understand? Then they go and read and ask people, they say, "Hey, you play a fool. You cannot become arahant also." Then they say, okay, I renounce. I want to come out. I want to become arahant. When you want to become arahant, you never become arahant. Yes or no? Because that is the ego, that craving. A recipient of the bodhisattva precept cannot lose sight or negate the essence of precept simply by breaking one of them. Now you understand? Huh? If you break, don't worry. Do not fear. After that, you will still break. See? It doesn't mean that one after that no more. You will still break. But you will learn from it. True or not? And later on, you will understand it is never worthwhile to break. Understand or not? When you realize that, then finally there is no way you can break. Understand or not? Then the rest, you can read on your own. Okay, we finish. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You know what I told Kaya Mita or not? In Hokkien. Bo kao lu bo xiong xin. Because it's not wow to break the precept one, the nature's law. Before you become enlightened, it showed it to you one. No? I remember that time before 1989. A lot of very chair thing happened. No? Once I got thought of even to take advantage or what, the karmic come back. Then my new car come. Three of the tire, no, one by one, take turn to puncture within 2 months. No? Very chair one. So then I know, must spend that type of money on it. Better than kena accident or scam by people. At least punctured only. I drive to the mechanic, pay money, kao tim. Okay, now we go to the 103, page 103, the proper one. Alicia want to go off to buy things. I have to do it faster. Okay. Taking of the bodhisattva vow. Now we shall prepare ourselves, develop the faith, sadha and the virya, and then mindfully we will do it together. I will first read to you the preparatory part first. So this one for new people you listen, the old people they already know. So in the sutta it's mentioned, as is tradition, you may seek out a Buddhist center or temple or a shrine to take the bodhisattva vow in the presence of a teacher. Or if you cannot do so, you can take in it at home in front of your sacred shrine. So we at least are very fortunate. We have this Sampo temple. That's why every time I hold retreat, this is a very conducive place. Then I can administer the bodhisattva vow. One must make strong aspiration to take the bodhisattva vow with great determination, faith, understanding, and sincerity in front of the Buddha or any great Maha Bodhisattva who have gone before us. So here we have Virochana Buddha, Sakyamuni Buddha, all the great beings, nature. Then tonight, at that time when I delivered this, we have all the great beings nature here. Sakyamuni Buddha, Amitabha Buddha, Maitreya Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Pusien, Pusa, Tizangwang Pusa, and all the other Maha Bodhisattva and Buddha of all the 10 directions. Together, in front of them, we shall make this strong resolve and aspiration to take this vow. Okay, are you ready? Then be in the kneeling posture to develop the great resolve and the making of this special aspiration to walk the bodhisattva way sincerely and with great determination and understanding. This is just to make the aspiration to walk this way, not the taking of the vow as yet. But you must determine strongly, because later on I will explain to you how to develop the actual vow after you have made the special aspiration to walk the bodhisattva way. Without this right view and right understanding, you cannot walk this way successfully. That's the reason why you must make this aspiration for you to have the understanding life after life. Now I will teach you how to invoke this aspiration. Okay, we do a preliminary one first. Eh? You all just read there, no need to nail. Eh? The actual one only you nail. Making of special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way. Together, eh? By the power of whatever blessings and wholesomeness that this nature of mine have cultivated from the distant past till now, may it arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mine to have the right Dhamma understanding life after life, whenever it chooses to come or have to come in the form of a form and mind. First, 3.1 is right view with regards to law of karma, karma niyama, the law of dependent origination or dwelling, citta niyama, and the four noble truths, Dhamma niyama. Note, these right views we have already learned. So you have to go back and reflect, contemplate, and develop the second turning wisdom on your own. We have gone through the law of karma many times. How from there the essential Dhamma of the Buddha comes about, and how the Buddha actually developed his teaching to advise you to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. Then how he advised you to renew your precept, take refuge, etc. All this come from right view. Then, from these right views, then you can develop the meditation to understand how you function as a human being via cittanupassana. Citta niyama. Then finally, from the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching, all the other essential Dhamma are spin off from there. Then after that, we reaffirm to understand the below two right view clearly. To understand, together we read, to understand the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind clearly. We are the direct seeing to realize that they are all conditioned arising entity, causal phenomena, hence impermanent, leading to suffering, not me, not self, and empty. This so-called living being, the five aggregates of form and mind, is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for us to come to this existential world, to develop the cultivation and experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. So need to use it with wisdom. Means the form and mind. Eh? So you need to use the form and mind with wisdom to arise the appropriate right thought, right speech, right action, so as to be a blessing to all and not to be deluded by it. To constantly recite and understand the following profound Dhamma, which we chant already this morning. I just go through quickly. Rupang anicchang, rupang anatta, vedana anicchang, vedana anatta, sanya anicchang, sanya anatta, sankara anicchang, sankara anatta, vijnanang anicchang, vijnanang anatta, sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkhang, and sabbe dhamma anatta. Then 3.3. Having developed the above right view, this nature of mind vows to always keep the three sets of pure precept via following the advice of all Sama Sambuddha. First set is to avoid all evil and to understand clearly what constitutes evil. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are the roots of all evil. Then next page. Note, then you have to go back and expand on it. What is greed, hatred, and delusion? Greed not only consists of your greediness, All your craving, covetousness, deceitfulness, desire, lust, etc. is greed, including whatever you take advantage of through your selfishness. All these are part of the evil roots of greed. Then the second evil root of hatred is not only anger and hatred, it includes your jealousy, envy, and everything else, including all of your negative, unpleasant mental state, like dislike, unhappiness, etc. They are all part of this evil root. Then delusion is ignorance, self-delusion, leading to fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. All these are the third evil roots of sakyadity or self-delusion. Then second pure precept is to cultivate all virtue and blessings, leading to the perfection of them all. Do you understand the difference between this and the advice of the Buddha that you normally heard of? This one makes it even clearer. Most people only recite avoid all evil, and sometimes they never include the word all, just avoid evil. The actual advice of the Buddha is all evil is to be avoided. Then what did we add? We add to avoid all evil and to understand clearly what constitutes evil. That's why our pure precepts are more elaborate. This is more important. If you don't even know what constitutes evil, then how are you going to avoid them? That's the reason why you vow life after life to have this understanding. So that when you come, when you hear this advice again, you can connect straight away. It will manifest through your vow and aspiration. Then you will also know how to cultivate all virtues and blessings, leading to the perfection of them all, instead of doing good. Understand that? Yeah. The normal cultivation is just to do good or cultivate wholesomeness wherever there is condition. But this precept is to cultivate all virtue and blessing, leading to the perfection of them all. This understanding is very important. We are the Bodhisattva way. For the Bodhisattva way, we need to do a lot more or deeper than the normal cultivation. Then the last pure precept is to cultivate wisdom to help liberate and take across all sentient beings. See, it's more elaborate. The normal Theravada tradition is purify the mind, and that means meditate, develop wisdom, enlightenment, finish. So the note explained again. These are the aspirations that you make so that life after life when you come, you will have this right view and true Dhamma understanding. Then only can you cultivate with the right understanding. But these are very important right views. That's the reason why I constantly remind you all to make sure that you all get this right and make use of the sasana's great window or opportunity to plant the seed of bodhi so that in future all this understanding can manifest and come back to you. Then also at our recent March 2016 Cameron Highland retreat, there were conditions for all this to arise too because of Kuan Yin's nature that arise on the 8th day, including all the other appropriate causes and conditions that also fall into place. That's the reason why through the nature's understanding, I have already granted all those who are here, the pure wish to have this understanding. But that pure wish cannot take place or manifest into a reality if on your part you don't cultivate the appropriate causes and conditions to connect to all these great beings. So today, taking of the Bodhisattva vow is the next stage after the Cameron Highland retreat for you all to have the right condition to walk the Bodhisattva way. If you do all this, it means you have successfully planted the seed of Bodhi and you are set for all your future coming. Then you will connect and not long after that, the vow will take you along. That's why all these are very beautiful understanding. But the condition just came during the sasana window of opportunity. A lot of things just happened. The book came, and everything else also came. Initially, I don't intend to teach you all so fast about the five stages of Bodhi mind development and the cultivation, because that is a very difficult and long topic. But because this book came in the nick of time, and he has the requisite condition for us to explain, for me to explain to you all, and summarize for you all the understanding, so that in future, when we do this, when we do all this sharing, you all can understand. Okay? Okay, now we will take the actual Bodhisattva vow. Okay. Light the puja item first. We do it. After that, we take the vow. That's why I put here, this is now the moment of truth. So we start the puja. Come. Alicia, 来。你可以迟一点出去啊。Okay. Okay, in order to save time, we will just have Brother Song and me, you all together rejoice, we make the offering. We all pay salutation first. Namo Bensi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Mi La Fo. Namo Mi La Fo. Namo Mi La Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo.那么药师佛，那么药师佛，那么地藏王菩萨，那么地藏王菩萨，那么地藏王菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨。阿拉汉萨玛萨布多巴嘎瓦，布当巴嘎万当。Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho.Sanghang Mamami. Okay, we will now make all this offering of puja on the offering altar. Okay, Brother Song. You all rejoice. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.Sadhu, Sadhu, 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 Sadhu.Okay, Pamasuri, you offer this tree. Sadhu, 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 Sadhu.Okay, y'all can sit up. So with that, we can prepare ourselves for the taking of the Bodhisattva vow. So after you have paid your respect now in the kneeling position, get ready, prepare yourself. This is now the moment of truth, and we will do it with understanding, so that this vow can become very firmly established. We shall plant the seed of Bodhi by taking this Bodhisattva vow. Then the three sets of pure precepts are actually the advice of the Buddha, but we have modified it a bit to suit the Bodhisattva way cultivation. These three sets of pure precepts actually covers the cultivation of all precepts, because when you can avoid all evil, we are understanding what constitutes evil, then you will be cultivating all virtue and blessing, leading to the perfection of them all. That means you are incapable of evil, hence cultivating all precepts. Then after that, the last set of pure precept is to cultivate the perfection of all wisdom, so that you can help liberate living beings and take them all across, thereby fulfilling the first of the four basic vows of the Bodhisattva. So these three sets of pure precept will tie in with the four basic vows, practices. That is the reason why they can become very powerful and beautiful, and it will make a big difference to your cultivation. Now you will recite the vow. We are following the Avatamsaka Sutta. So get ready. A Bodhisattva vow can be found at the end of the Avatamsaka Sutta, as given by Samantra Bodhisattva or Pusien Pusa. He had advised that the Bodhisattva vow are to be taken with the following two famous verses from the sutra. Now compose your mind. Develop the sadha, virya, sincerity and understanding. Then together we shall recite them. So in your kneeling posture, recite together with me. Just as all previous sugatas, the Buddha generated the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplished all stages of the Bodhisattva training, so too were this nature of mind, for the sake of all living beings, generates the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and resolve to accomplish all the stages of Bodhisattva training, so that the seed of Bodhi can be strongly planted within our nature. Then wait, we continue. This nature of mind further vow, with utmost sincerity, faith and perseverance, to walk to perfection, this Bodhisattva way, we are taking the following initial four basic vows of a Bodhisattva. Okay? So this one, when you recite this, face the author, the triple jhana. Because all the great beings in the 10 directions, including all Samasambuddha, they were bear witness. Okay? Where this place is different. So, have faith, face the author, then thank all the great beings for bearing witness, so that they understand you take this vow seriously and your resolve is very strong, your faith is very strong. Okay? Then they will support you. Yeah. Then they will have affinity with you. That's why when you take it here and at home or other place, it's different. Okay? Okay, now we start. This nature of my vows, I better read and you follow. Easier. Because some are new. No. Ilang u, ilang bo. Never mind. We follow this one. If you want to follow your yellow card, you can. But for those who don't have, don't worry. You recite after me. This nature of my vows, to liberate the countless living beings from samsara and take them all across to the other shore. Then the second Bodhisattva vows. This nature of my vows, to endure and severe all vexation and suffering. The third Bodhisattva vow, this nature of my vows, to cultivate and penetrate all dhammas, to realize the perfection of all wisdom. Then the fourth bodhisattva vow. This nature of my vows, to perfect all the 10 parameters of perfection, to realize the unsurpassed Samma Sambuddhahood. Okay, then I will read to you all the note. We will then take the additional vow so that it can help you break all your karmic obstruction to bring about the way, so that you can cultivate more easily. Karmic obstruction can be very powerful, and a lot of cultivators get trapped because of karmic obstruction, and they cannot immediately move. Even in this life, when the sasana is still around, for 10 to 15 years, you may be hindered or trapped because of past life karma or karmic obstruction. You may have misled people, caused them to lose the way. That's the reason why the karmic obstruction can come back to obstruct you. If you don't ask for forgiveness and do the repentance, you cannot break it. This is a very powerful way which my nature had developed through its own understanding from the past cultivation. Now I will share with you. This can also be applied to any other situation so you have to adjust it accordingly to suit your particular condition and needs. But basically it covers most condition. Then you can use it to help other people too. Just like in this life, I have helped many depressed cases and living beings with problems born of their karmic obstruction when they face First Noble Truth reality suffering. Okay, now we recite this additional vow to break all karmic obstruction. It's also in the yellow card, but don't worry, we follow the book first. The yellow card is to make it convenient for you, understand not? So that you don't have to carry the heavy book around. So this card you can put on your traveling bag, your bus or whatever, whenever you travel or you are not at home. You can take it out and, like Po Cheng did, diligently do your religious routine. Initially, the first 3 months, to me the best is 3 to 6 months, you continue to recite this bodhisattva vow with understanding and faith until you familiarize with it, until it become a part of you. And then after that, you do it once a while, it's up to you. Understand not? Because once you plant the seed of bodhi deep inside your nature, this will never get lost. But before that, when you don't have the stability and understanding, my advice is do it genuinely, seriously, and persevere until you familiarize with it. Because if this line also you cannot remember without the paper, I tell you, your future coming, how can the bohi mind generate anything to come out? Understand? If this life you can be very familiar with it and develop all the understanding and stability, then automatically this one will come out. And it will be activated, the bohi seed. Then this bohi mind will surface. So make sure after this you do it. Because after this you don't do it, you let it slip by. And life is uncertain, isn't it? Understand or not? But death is a certainty, you know. When it comes, you don't know. No? So don't procrastinate or delay. This is very, very important advice. That's why the Buddha always advised the monk, contemplate on what? Marana Nusati. What is Marana Nusati? Contemplation on death. Death is a reality, a certainty. It can happen anytime. So this will give you the urgency of cultivation. That's why Po Cheng, before he progressed, because of that, the urgency, because he realized she's not young anymore, have to strive already. Then all out. And she really progressed like a bullet train. So we all rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, this additional vow is to help you break all your karmic obstruction to bring about the way. So now you recite together. If by action, speech, or thought, whether knowingly or unknowingly, we are ignorant, delusion, and heedlessness, this nature of mind had offended or done anything wrong unto the triple gem, bracket, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. This nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. Note, this one is very important, sincerely ask for forgiveness. If you have committed karmic offense against the triple gem or caused Sikhism to the Sangha, such karmic offense can be very severe and your karmic obstruction will come and obstruct or disturb you. But the beauty about the triple gem is the moment you ask for forgiveness sincerely, it will neutralize the karmic obstruction immediately. Because the triple gem has already taken the vow to forgive all living beings. Yeah. The vow of all enlightened ones. Okay. Now we will continue with the next few additional vows. This one is the complement. Your first one is ask for forgiveness from triple gem. Then second one. Whomsoever from the distant past till now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of mind has caused any karmic negativity, misery, suffering, or misled, this nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all. May my sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all, so that all this karmic obstruction can be amicably resolved or watered down or lessened, thereby enabling this nature of mind to continue with its cultivation, to realize the true Dhamma with ease. Then the third one. This nature of mind also vowed to repent and from now onwards, vow never to repeat any of this karmic negativity born of greed, hatred, and delusion. We are following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and strive on with heedfulness to keep the five precepts and cultivate the Buddha Dharma diligently so that it will never violate the law of karma again whenever it arises. So the fourth vow. This is an additional miscellaneous vow. So additional vow, the fourth one is to cover whatever that is not covered on top. Okay? Number four, we recite together. By the power of whatever wholesomeness and merits that this nature of mind has cultivated since the distant past until now, may it arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mind to have the ability to overcome all other karmic obstruction or obstacle amicably, so that in future, so that in future, this nature of mind will be able to gain back its life, to walk the path of Dhamma life after life, to fulfill and realize all its bodhisattva vows. Then next page. The note. The fourth additional vow is very important where you invoke your own power of merit. This is the turnaround to help you move again. Without this invocation of power of merit, this turnaround cannot happen. The karmic obstruction can be very deviant and can be very powerful too. So when you invoke power of merits for causes and conditions, then it will dissolve itself. Then you can connect back. Initially, you have to do this until your way is beyond the third stage of Bohimai development. Understand now? As long as you have not illuminated your nature, Bohimai has not illuminated your nature, you better ask for forgiveness. Because once your Bohimai illuminate your nature, third stage of body mind development, then you are safe. Means you won't fall back, understand not? Your cultivation is like destined for Sama Sambuddhahood already. At the third stage of Bohi mind development, you will develop this very unique third phase cultivation to illuminate your Buddha nature. This means not only you have realized your true mind, but you also connect to your gateway to your nature. Then you will have the ability to develop the cultivation until you can illuminate this true nature within, until it becomes so different. Then you will know from then onward, you will never regress anymore. By then, all this karmic obstruction would have been gone. Otherwise, you cannot realize the type of enlightenment, or that type of enlightenment. So the initial phase, before you hit the third stage of Bohi mind development, you still have to ask for forgiveness to break the karmic obstruction. Then the last type of vow is the additional miscellaneous vow to help enhance your cultivation. So this one depends on your ability to come up with whatever additional vow that is unique to you, then you add it in. Understand not? Like Pusian, very different. Amitabha, very different. Sakyamuni, wisdom way direct. Yao Si Fo, also different. Pusian, over already. Di Zhang Wang Pusa, also different. Then Quan Si Ying Wan, also very different. That's why they put in a lot of additional Wang. And I also put in one, I told you. That's why my last guy had to come. I vow independent of religion. I don't say Buddhism alone, Dhamma alone. I say whenever this nature of mine arise, this nature aspire to realize the highest wisdom at that time. Understand not? That's why I come. I can understand J. Krishnamurti's teaching. I can understand any religion's teaching if that is true. So you don't limit yourself to unnecessary Buddhist. Understand not? Yeah, the Dhamma is a universal truth. Like the Buddha said, the Dhamma is not monopolized by him. It was there within nature before he realized it underneath the Bodhi tree. So this understanding are very important. Okay? So now we start. Additional miscellaneous vow to enhance the cultivation. So initially is to enhance the cultivation. Then after that, you can put in all the unique miscellaneous vow that you find useful, helpful, and you want to put it in. Or sometimes you may add in your own additional vow to enhance your cultivation. Because some people need certain type of vow to help in the cultivation. Because somehow they find it very difficult to penetrate that understanding. Then they vow on them. They make aspiration so that they can break the coming obstruction until it can be resolved. Then it will allow them to easily understand those teachings. Because I realize certain cultivators, they stuck at certain teaching or cannot move. So you have to improvise your own additional miscellaneous vow. Okay? So what I put here are general. We recite together. This nature of my vows means, wait. This nature of my vows, all these additional miscellaneous vows. Okay, read again. This nature of my vows, the following additional vows, additional miscellaneous vows. To be successful in fulfilling all my above vows soon as possible, To cultivate strong affinity with all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and to request their nature's constant blessing, protection, and guidance always. To strengthen my 5 spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya until they become balas or power, life after life, so that all the above vows can be fulfilled with it. Then I will read you the notes. Do you know why you have to do all this? It is because most spiritual cultivators never perfect their spiritual faculty until they become unshakable. That's the reason why every life when you come, you have to train. You have to do all this training all over again. But this life, I realize that this nature of mine is different. Because when it comes, the moment I cultivate, the spiritual faculty are already there. That's the reason why I can just sit silent and the mind, silent the mind and just meditate. Means awareness-based meditation. And I just know what to do. All this must have come from those vows. Otherwise, this nature cannot be what it is today. Like very lucky, everything goes its way, and it can just understand whatever truth that comes along. It can never touch psychic and all the energy and all those energy field related meditation or thing. I never learned all this in this life. Then how can it happen? Very likely it is because of all this right view, perfection, and aspiration, miscellaneous vow, etc. The teaching is either forgotten or lost. And you have to understand that every bodhisattva can evoke their own understanding and come out with better and better ones, just like this life. This is what my nature understands, hence is able to share all this with you all. This is the third additional vow. And the fourth additional miscellaneous vow is, we recite together, to cultivate extensively all virtue, blessings, and merits to help support our cultivation so that they will shine forth to aid us, to aid our nature. We recite together. When you recite on your own, you use your own one. This nature of mine and his. This thing. Here we use our nature. When needed in time of trials, difficulties and tribulation while walking the Bodhisattva way. I realize this one very important. If you don't have this type of merit, that's why if you don't cultivate extensively taking the Bodhisattva way with all this very special, unique virtue, means very extensive virtue, blessing and merits to help support you. Not easy. Well, for me, like this life I come, not only smooth sailing, I got no problem. So you will have the understanding when you go this way, the efficacy of vows and all this assertion of truth and all those things and the making of all the great vows. Okay, the bracket I read to you so that you understand. This additional vow is very important because my nature realized without these virtue, blessings and merit, it's very difficult to walk this way. That's the reason why my nature came to realize that a lot of Zen masters, when they come, they suffer a lot and they have to go through a lot of difficulties because their focus is too much centered on the cultivation alone. Virtue are equally important. Love, compassion, merits and blessing are also very important. That's the reason why Sakyamuni's way is good. He set up the Sangha and the ladies, the synergy. That's the reason why he said, you must keep the precept, then follow the type of practice and cultivation. For according to the Buddha, virtue is the source of true happiness or true spiritual joy. Virtue is the source of true peacefulness of mind. But the last one is the best. Virtue is the source of true spiritual wealth. You will gain spiritual wealth when you make offerings to the worthy ones. In return, they will share with you the Dhamma, and they will send blessing to you. That's the reason why you must make vow and aspiration via reciting Imina, Punyang, Kamina, etc. Meaning, invoke the power of merits via reciting by the power of whatever merits that you have cultivated. May it arise the causes and conditions for you to always avoid the foolish and the heedless, meet up with the wise and the enlightened one, so that Nibbana can be realized soonest possible. That's why I use the word sailang. When you have enough to sailang only, you can sailang. Understand? Otherwise, you talk only, no use. Your merits are not enough. Understand? But you must understand who are the heedless. This one very important. I explained before already. And who are the enlightened ones? If you don't cultivate and have this right view and right understanding, you cannot identify them. You may have the vow, but of no use, because you don't even know who they are. Means who are the heedless and what constitute evil. Hence, you are still gullible and still can become their good friend, even though you make the vow to avoid them. It is because you vow without understanding. Like I used to tell you all, you vow to meet up Maitreya Buddha when he arrives. And because of that, when he arrives, very likely, you are born. You may meet him, but you cannot recognize him. So much. Oh, sorry, Veda. But you cannot recognize him, so not much use, right? This is because you do not know what the qualities of a Buddha are if you do not cultivate the understanding and affinity. You just vow to meet, but you don't recognize. Then you cannot follow. Hence, doubt arises. The worst is when you meet him, you abuse him. Because of that, you abuse him because you cannot recognize him. When that happens, nobody can help you. If you abuse the Sammasambuddha, no amount of repentance can help you, because that is a really heavy karma. But at least you request for forgiveness, repentance. It will not be a problem. Okay, we end our today's session with the understanding of what constitutes the 10 perfection leading to Sammasambuddhahood. Okay, this part I will read to you later, because our schedule run out by half an hour already. Okay, so I mark this page. Afterwards only I go through you the 10 perfection so that you can develop the understanding. Okay. So this 10 perfection, you have to develop some form of understanding. Where these are the 10 perfection that, or paramitas that the Bodhisattva has to cultivate to perfection to realize Sammasambuddhahood. So the fifth stage of Bodhimaya development after third and fourth stage is the consummation of Sammasambuddhahood, means you have completed the perfection of the 10 paramitas. That's why that one is the most difficult, and it will take very long. Depending on your way of cultivation and your prami. But the third phase of Bodhimaya development already very good. Bodhimaya that can illuminate your nature, your true nature clearly. Then Bodhimaya that can renounce samsara will definitely come about after you have completed stage 3. That's why from stage 3 to stage 4 of Bodhimaya development is actually quite fast. But after that, That is the most beautiful part of your existence or coming. Yeah, when you can renounce samsara, means to you, samsara is like no more problem, no more issue. You will not be like those deluded beings, say, ayo, samsara, take the bodhisattva way, have to cultivate so long. I don't want to suffer anymore. But by then, you would have all the wisdom, understanding, and the parami, the spiritual nature and karmic nature, to support you. So every life you come is beautiful. That's why I have one teacher told me, he said, bodhisattva way very long, but rewarding. And when you understand, it's not only rewarding, very interesting. To me, is as per the Heart Sutta said, sen kong miao you. When you have penetrated true emptiness and cultivated to that extent, when you understand both the conditioned and the unconditioned, you can come and go easily. And my last guide told me, if you know how to come, you must know how to return. If you don't know how to return, you come for what? Keep on coming to suffer. So, after you go through this gateway, he told me, actually, it can cut short the training very, very much faster. So, because of my vow, that's why this life, he came early, you know, at the age of 35, I already located the gateway. And he told me personally, he said, Teo, do you know, for any cultivator to come to this ability to locate the gateway and have the understanding to do like you, he is at least 80 years old. Understand? He had never seen one achieve it before 80 years old. So all these are the understanding. So please, have faith. Investigate. Make sure this is what you are looking for, because based on what we have gone through, you have nothing to lose, isn't it? Everything to gain, isn't it? If like that, also you don't know how to choose, that is your life, your own destiny you decide. But most people who has the parami and the root, their heart not only move, no, inside really come to tears. Because it's like long forgotten. Like this type of teaching, this type of understanding have been lost for too long. It's just like when I met my teacher Acharyantra, when he told me the story of the Bodhisattva one life, the Samasamudra visit, he got nothing to offer except the needle that he used for his career. And he just donated it. Then inside me, inside, deep inside the nature, that thing came out. My tears flow. Yeah. I knew I can also do it if given that condition. That's why all this is understanding. Then these are the example given by cultivator who had the cultivation and understanding. So all this, hopefully, it can help you. Okay, now I read through the 10 perfection so that you know what they are, and it will help you to develop the understanding to cultivate. The first perfection is generosity, or in Pali is called Dana Parami. That's why you come for the living being. You have a lot of kindness, a lot of love and compassion, and generosity. You save people with an altruistic mind, and you don't think for yourself anymore. That's the reason why dana and generosity parami is very powerful. The gift of truth, the gift of service, helping out and doing whatever you can to relieve suffering of living beings. It's all part of this generosity, parami. Understand or not? If you don't this work, don't do this work, your parami cannot be perfected. Understand or not? The gift of love, the gift of compassion, the gift of what they call security. The gift of truth is very powerful. When you can deliver truth, that is the highest parami. Because whoever you take across, he is a potential sama samudha and teacher. And when they become one, all this, like the, you call what, the direct selling, the commission go all the way up to the top on the sala. The first guy to recruit the rest all down line, all the commission you own, go up to the top. Sister Yun Chan, yeah, you all your parami, all go to her. Then Eng B one is for the Subang group one. Those who go to Thursday class, she and Sister Mi Fong and Yun Chan. Sui An. The three of them, I remember 2008. After I give a talk at Wang Jaya Buddhist Association, Eng B approached me. Hey, brother, what you? First time I heard somebody can summarize the teaching so well. Within the 1 to 1.5 hours, so much Dhamma has been spoken and shared. Then he asked me, Matthew, do you teach meditation? Then I looked at Mi Fong. You know, Mi Fong warned me before. He said, Eng B, don't touch his vipassana. Then I said, never mind. Then because got condition, to me it got condition, I manifest it. Then I said, oh, can I got teach? I said, then he said, can we have a class? Mi Fong very reluctant. No? I said, at first she kept quiet, so Eng B very fast. Do it at your house. Yeah, you know what happened? Later I came to know Sui An told me, actually Subang Jaya Buddhist Thursday got a class one. No? Oh. So that's why we had to go to Sui An. Then from there a lot of new kayamita came. No? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So because of that, a lot of things in life, in nature, you never know how you receive all this wholesomeness. It's because of the affinity. Then from there, you get to understand the Mahayana Bodhisattva way. You know? And when you understand this and you take the vow sincerely and with resolve, you go this way, you look at the amount of merit that you generate. So different, isn't it? The normal dana parami is go and offer food lah, donate here lah, donate there. This one, what I read to you on, the gift of truth, no? The gift of service, no? And helping out, doing whatever you can to relieve suffering, no? When you have the Dhamma, all the First Noble Truth reality, you call what? Casualty living being, they will come to you. And when they come to you, they develop the understanding and they turn around. This type of parami is fantastic. You know why? You free them from suffering. No? That's why then after that, they have faith in you, look forward to you. Then they want to learn this teaching. No? And in doing so, that process takes place. You take them across. Understand now? One by one. And after they learn the teaching, they will have their nature. They will manifest. And they will, in time, have the ability to teach and share. And not only that, when they recover, the whole family affected all recover. Understand? So you have to understand, when one guy create the negative karma, like separation, the husband selfish, because of selfish reason, want to divorce, the wife kena first. No? Then because of that, the wife becomes so depressed and so sad, so much suffering. The children also suffer. No? Then the in-law also suffer. All those have relationship with them suffer. But when that victim turn around, what happened? All of the children, everybody turn back to like happy again, normal. So it's not only one being. It's been all. That's why my nature understand all this. That's why I explain to you how you can perfect your Dana Parami. Don't restrict to the superficial level of generosity. Understand? Go Dana here, go Dana there, donate this, donate that. But how much Parami can you receive? It's still wholesomeness, generosity. But this one cannot lead to perfection. To develop perfection, you must go the Bodhisattva way. Develop all the training and understanding. That's why the second vow is what? You vow to severe all suffering and resection. If you can do that, means what? Suffering did not be, is correct. But if you can do that, means what? You already have the wisdom, isn't it? Otherwise, how can you do that? That vow, you vow to severe and abandon all suffering and resection. No? To do that, you must have the wisdom. And when you have the wisdom, means what? You can renounce everything, no? Understand? No? That's why that renunciation, parami, kanti, surface. That's why the second vow is to develop that. Understand? No? Then the third vow, lucky best. You vow to perfect all wisdom, no? So, perfection of panya, no? After that, all your virtue is true virtue, no? No longer good according to you, no? That's why all these are in the vow. Then when you perfect the 10 perfection, I tell you, you jia bi liao. Every of these virtue is perfect, no? Understand, no? Your sila is perfect. And sila can be perfect easily. Once you hit third stage of Bodhi mind development, your sila pure already. Understand, no? So the 10 perfection can be done, not difficult. Okay, I better read on. Otherwise, until 12 o'clock also I won't finish. Okay. But this topic is interesting. Interesting or not? Ayo, I see no sound. Either you don't understand or you don't really get it. Okay. Okay, I read on. The gift of truth, the gift of service, helping out and doing whatever you can to relieve suffering of living being is all part of the generosity parami. When you have the means to help, and you are very generous, then you can cultivate generosity parami very easily to perfection. You can bring about the causes and conditions for many beautiful things to unfold. Just like this life, now you listen to this, you will rejoice. All our kayamita have done so well. So many wholesome things. Via our kayamita funds dana parami. And this can help Kayamita generate a lot of very wholesome merits and virtue. Generosity is the function of our generous heart. When you radiate metta, love and compassion, and you come for the living being, all these are very wholesome Dana Parami. When you develop great compassion and love for living beings, you also have great Parami, because that vow develop that love and compassion to count for the living being, not for your own selfish purpose. Understand? When it's for the living being, then you won't come up with your views, opinion, and idea. No, understand? That's why last time I remember the early day, after quite a long time, we among those who helped me to do the Kayamita fund. We were discussing how to use the surplus fund from the retreat to actually donate out. Then there were not really inside the committee. They have difference of opinion. Why must donate that temple? Why must donate that one? Why not donate this one? We are different. We are, their preference is different temple. You know? Then after that, they go to Miss Lee. You know? Then Miss Lee also come up with idea and all that. Then Miss Lee came and talked to me. You know? Then I think a few Kayamita also came along. Then I said, okay, call a meeting. I resolve everything. So at the meeting, each one give their own reason and view. So do you learn anything? I say, what is the purpose of Kayamita Fund? Well, I set it up one now, that's how I know. I say, whatever is wholesome and good for the Kayamita, we do, understand? Why you want to come up with your opinion, his opinion, her opinion? You think the one that come up with the suggestion didn't check with me? All this approved by me, you know. Oh, then keep quiet, everybody. No more opinion. Well, at first they thought somebody do it, you know. But at that time, they know the one that write on the whiteboard one is who? Brother Sui An, because they thought Sui An did everything. You know. Oh. Then when they come to know, everybody keep quiet. And then resolve. Because I say, if is that fund is for the wholesomeness of all Kayamita, then ask yourself, not your view, your opinion, understand not? What is best for the Kayamita? That's why I say, we decide to donate a lot to this temple, because it's best for the Kayamita, understand not? The power of it, 10 to 15 thousand during the early day, is all to the temple, understand not? Then the rest, even Sunday school, this year maybe we donate more, then we give less, 1,000. Then the temple one of 500, 1,000. So why you want to complain? So whatever that has the condition, it will manifest. You want to suggest? Can. Come and request. Then let me know. Then I will evaluate. Well, you know, my duty is very heavy, you know. Kayamita trust me, you know, and donate to Kayamita Fund. I have to make sure this money is channeled to proper place. You know. You ask Sui An, he know. He and Mi Feng in the early day came to ask me to donate for one charity in Thailand to buy a piece of land to build monastery. You know, then I don't know much about that place and that so-called person who want to sell. I said, can check for me who hold the title and finally what are they going to do? Finally, they realize it's lay person, no? And I also don't know them. No? So I said, because of that, I said, I will avoid. Well, if I'm not sure, I will not do it. If I'm very sure, like Tzu Chi, all those things, I do that. Understand? No? Then whatever Sui An requests on, like Kam Lan Temple or Teng Siong Sifu Temple, then all those that I know one, no problem. Understand? No? So hopefully Kayamita understand. Eh? So avoid all this by focusing on Kayamita, if it's Kayamita Fund. If it's Bodhisattva Vow, you come for the living being. Always remember, understand? Don't go and quarrel. When people come and complain, hey, why you help this person? You don't help my relative. How? You Bodhisattva, no? So how? You say, I come for the living being. Got affinity, I have lah. No affinity, what can I do? Understand or not? So this is how you manifest and develop all the understanding. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now I continue. Then you develop moral value via keeping your precept or sila. Meaning, you determine not to violate the nature's law of karma. Because you have right view in regards to the law of karma, and you maintain wholesomeness of virtue to avoid all evil, we are following the advice of the Buddha. So this one, I have not added in here because I already described the three set of pure precepts. Understand? The three set of pure precepts is a refinement over the basic advice of the Buddha under the Theravada tradition. Understand? That's why the three step of pure precept is very powerful. If you develop that, your sila is not the normal sila. That's how now. You vow to avoid all evil through understanding what constitutes evil, then you expand on it, no? That's why that type of sila is very different, no? And you develop mindfulness, heedfulness to actually make use of it, no? And apply it, no? So, avoid all evil, do good. That one, the second bodhisattva precept, not only do good, no, to the perfection of them all, no, understand, no? Means you go to a very extensive extent, no, to do good, no, through your understanding, through your wisdom, through your whatever parami, understand, no? Then the last one is purify your mind. But in the third bodhisattva vow precept, pure precept, what do you vow? You vow to perfect all wisdom, to take all beings across, no, understand? Not only become enlightened, purify your mind, cultivate, finish, understand? So, very extensive. And when you do that, you are actually fulfilling your first basic vow, understand? And all this bring about what? Wisdom, perfection of all the ten perfection. That's why now I explain to you one by one. And now the third one, then renunciation. This now I explain already. Nikama in Pali. You cultivate to develop wisdom to severe all attachment. That's the reason why the final summary of the first noble truth, the cause of suffering, not explained by Master Sun Yan, his book didn't explain. According to the Buddha, is all suffering comes from self-delusion. That condition you to grasp at the five aggregates of form and mind as the I and the me. So all of your grasping, clinging is the cause of suffering. So when you have wisdom not to be deluded, and you won't attach and you won't cling, you can endure and severe all suffering and vexation, means the renunciation and renounce the conditioned world and the entire phenomenal world. That's how renunciation can be perfected, understand not? So without this wisdom, you cannot renounce one. So the second vow, you vow to severe and abandon all suffering and vexation, means you must perfect the wisdom at the same time. Otherwise you will be afflicted, understand not? That's why by then, you can renounce everything already. That's why during the Buddha's time, you remember he was tested. King Sakya asked for the wife and the children. Give. The king of Kaloga tests his patience. He can do, understand? He can renounce. He knows. Once you reach the Bodhi mind, fourth stage of Bodhi mind cultivation, or fourth stage of Bodhi mind development, is to renounce. The Bodhi mind that can renounce samsara. Means to him, samsara is nothing. And even at the third stage, he really know this form of mind is just a vehicle and tool. So no more issue, no more problem. That's why everything is not so real, not what you think, like what we have gone through. Dependent origination, dependent originating, condition, right? Causal phenomenon. Then you see, come and go, come and go. Then mind make a day, everything just consciousness, image. How real can it be? Then the present moment, the highest in life, the only reality. Split second is day and gone. So transient. So how real can life be? Is there anything you want to hold on to? No meaning in it. Like the Buddha say, my son, my wealth, my whatever, things that you hold on to. These only the fools, the foolish one lament. For that very body also don't belong to him. Then wherein sun, wherein well, wherein all these things. So reflect on it, contemplate on it. Then when you understand, the parami of renunciation can be perfected too. So all these other understanding, the essential dhamma already teach you a lot of things. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Next page, If you come with a clear understanding that this form and mind is not you, but only a vehicle and tool for you to come to this existential world, to live and experience life, and to develop the cultivation, then there is no more delusion or problem. True or not? And this is what I always teach you on the vehicle and tool. So when you understand all this, then you will not cling, not what you think. That's why you can see form, the unreality of form. Then you can see beyond form. Then you can see mind, the unreality of mind. Then you see beyond mind. When you see beyond form and mind, what do you see? Your true nature. Your true nature is not a being, no, cannot come out and live life. No. It's not you, no. But it's a nature. And so. Then you wake up. Means everything within the conditioned world is not real. Mind make a day. So, like what I share here, you come with the clear understanding that this form and mind is not you, but only a vehicle and a tool. This is what you make aspiration to have the right view, light of the life. You remember just now when we take the vow? And this is for you to develop the wisdom to perfect your renunciation. That's why Kanti Parami is not difficult. Understand now? Anekama, sorry. Kanti is patient, sorry. Anekama. That Parami is not difficult. Okay? Now I read on. Then, as the user of thought, you will then know how to use the mind to arise the right thought, so as to be a blessing to all. You will understand all this. Otherwise, you will have problem. Then for the perfection of wisdom, you have the ability to realize it via your vow to cultivate and penetrate all Dhamma to perfection. Then regarding the spiritual zeal or virya, you take the refuge and vow. The faith or sadha will be there. And that's the reason why this virya will be there too, because of the sadha. Means as you progress, you see all this is so wonderful and so meaningful and so beautiful. Your virya, your faith in the Buddha and the Triple Gemma become very different now. Then your virya to continue this cultivation is so rewarding and so meaningful and so beautiful. And you can learn so much things. And you can be a blessing to all. That's why you will have the virya to go all out. That's why this parami will come in. Then regarding patient kanti, it means you are not in a hurry to fulfill all this vow. You can take your time to fulfill all this vow and cultivate to perfection all this parami, so that you can develop the requisite wisdom and virtue needed to do this work. You will get to cultivate all the understanding and get to experience all of the wonders and beauties of life, so that you can come back to continuously perfect your karmic nature and your spiritual nature. All this can be very beautiful and very meaningful. After you have perfected the understanding and wisdom, you will never lie again. Then truthfulness, satya, is very easy to perfect because you have no more self. You have no more selfishness. You will be very sincere and truthful in the way you go about doing things. Then all this cultivation will become like very easy. That's why the perfection of truth or satya can also be done. And when you understand not worthwhile to violate all this, then you will keep to your precept, because why must you lie? Anasana? Unless you are selfish, you have a motive, intention behind. Otherwise, why must you lie? You develop the appropriate understanding to have right speech, appropriate, kind, gentle, and pleasant speech, then no need to lie. Anasana. You can explain things to people, like people very sad, somebody died, terminal cancer, you scared, paisei, ayo, how can I tell him or her, she will be very hurt. Even if that thing happened, why you worry? This is a reality, and so you must tell them, these are the first noble truth reality. Everybody must die, and so on. How you die depend on how you take care of karma and how you live your life. But if they are not Buddhist, please don't talk too much. Keep quiet. Let them handle, unless got condition. Okay, then number 8. Oh, sorry. There's another part.
After you have, oh, this one we finish, yeah? Okay, the number 8 perfection is Adittana. This one is my expert field. I completed this perfection. Sahadu, sahadu, sahadu. My nature actually did this and finished off this one first. That's why I'm very good at making expression. I teach you how to break your coming obstruction, or I know how to invoke vow, all those things. So this number 8 is very easy. That's why I say it's very easy. Because this one is my specialty. Understand not? My nature had more or less perfected it. Hence, I can understand it very well. That's the reason why I know how to use the power of merits for making aspiration, do repentance, we are asking for forgiveness, etc. to help you all in your cultivation, and also how to invoke the power of merits to help you overcome your karmic obstruction. These are not stated in the teaching. The repentance they do is somewhat different, even for the case of Master Sen Yen Fosu, as evident by his explanation. If there are conditions, I will share more with you. It's stated in this book. You can read through to understand why his repentant teaching is different. Okay. Then different cultivator come with different understanding. He has his way. To me, this is the complete way. His is one aspect of it. Then the next perfection is loving kindness or metta. Without love and compassion, you cannot save living beings. So compassion is also under this number 9 perfection. Then the number 10 perfection is equanimity or upeka, enlightenment factor, born of wisdom. Again, all this can be perfected if you look at the 10 perfections. It's like very easy after you have developed the 4 basic vow of the Bodhisattva. With this, we shall end our today's sharing. Rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now is summarized for you the 10 perfection. First, dana parami, generosity. Then, morality or virtue, sila parami. Then we have nikama, renunciation parami. Then wisdom, panya parami. Then spiritual zeal, virya. Then kanti, is patience. Then truthfulness, number 7. Then number 8, determination or resolution and affirmation, adhitana. Then loving kindness. Then number 10 is upeka. Upeka also easy. When your wisdom is there, your mind is equanimous. But it's a free mind, you understand? Not a conditioned state. Okay, finish. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We can still get Manyuan or Tammy. Tammy, okay. We are at page 185. Did we finish page 185? I think part 2, at part 2.
1.3, part 2. Bodhisattva's son died. No crying, no sorrow and lamentation. Why? Because the Buddha knew whatever that is of the nature to arise is also of the nature to cease, and what has been born has already ceased to be. So no amount of sorrow or lamentation can bring back the dead. We have been born so many times, so which one of the many eons of segmented lives or birth and death is you? 3. Cameron Highland Retreat, stillness, breeze, Dharma contemplation. When your mind is silent and still, all of nature's phenomena, mental and physical phenomena, can be perceived clearly because they keep on arising via mental perception and consciousness within your silent or true mind. When at the retreat, you are very relaxed, at ease, and heedful most of the time, so Dharma contemplation can arise easily, and there is Dharma in everything that comes. comes within your field of perception and awareness.
So this one, for those who went up this morning, they can experience it and understand it. You're up there, the panoramic view and the nature there is very different. That's why I put here, you can feel the stillness within the area when you go up, even within the temple. Then the breeze, the weather, the wind. Then Dhamma contemplation can happen when your mind is silent and still. You only need to maintain your silent mind. Then all these phenomena, they will be very clear to you. That's why all of nature's phenomena, whether mental, physical, or nature's phenomena, can be perceived clearly. Because they keep on arising via what? Via your mental perception and consciousness. Understand or not? Every moment when you are there, when you're silent, you will perceive them. Truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? That's why all these are the understanding. Because they keep on arising via mental perception and consciousness within your silent or true mind. When you have your silent and true mind, you aware. And whatever you want to know, you can know. That's the power of mindfulness, awareness. When at the retreat, because you are very relaxed, at ease, and heedful most of the time, so Dhamma contemplation can arise easily, and there is Dhamma everywhere that comes within your field of perception and awareness. Then I show them. You look at the temple, their building, the roof. Then at the peach triangle there. Tomorrow morning we go up. No need to do exercise. Morning exercise. We after simple morning chanting, we go up. Well, this morning I confirm 6:40, bright already. No need torchlight already. Sui An check the Google. Is it 7:05 only morning? 7:01 only got sunlight. But we went out. Because I told you all, never mind, we go. We are my nature very confident. And up there, very friendly. That's why. At first, Sui An came into the room, you know, before I come out. He said, start drizzling already. So I go. Then after finish, I want to make sure. You know, I ask Brother Chan, you know, I go and check out. You know. Then come and say, no rain. Okay, we go. So everything is meant to be, yes. It just happened. So hopefully, tomorrow you go out, you're silent. But you're silent at the time, you don't go and walk. Otherwise, you can fall your steps. So you make sure you finish the step mindfully. Up there only you're silent. Then you can see the village at the back, the flowing stream, the chipping of the birds, the weather, the nature, everything. Then the beauty of the temple formation, then the big pagoda, that sign all don't have an all old building, very small building. Then now you have the library refurbished, the Sunday school, and the two, what you call that? Pavilion, thanks. It's very nice. We open the stainless steel gate, we go in. Except Pamasuri say can meditate there. I say can, but you have to clean it. The weather after rain stain. Tomorrow we go and have a look. The Brinchang, the whole of Brinchang. Then a lot of day three. Contemplate Marana Nusati. Everything die. Then you look. The early day when I come here, I like to walk out there and look at all the dead tree, you know. So that I understand when it's devoid of consciousness, it goes the way of nature. That's all. So the Kaya Nupasana, the nine stages of 7-3 contemplation also same. Wow, when you're young, youthful, you look at the form, pretty, handsome, muscular, very energetic. But this is just a form of mind, condition arising, causal phenomena, not what you think.
When it's devoid of consciousness, what happened to the form? It go through the 9 stages of cemetery decomposition. Then you look at it, still that handsome, pretty one, gone already, understand? That's why this one is illusionary, understand? But please understand, there is such thing as life, no? Understand? So when you have the beautiful form, make use of it, understand? Ayo, when you have this ability to travel and do all the things you like, and to help people and be a blessing to the world, you turn out to be the stingy guy, like I explained, the 3 phases of life. Stingy, thrifty, don't want to spend, don't want to do anything. Then what happened? When you're too old, all the money you realize, no use. When you sick also, fan tai lei yong, use more money. And you miserable, understand? So, doesn't mean that all these are unreal. You cannot make use of it. No, you can make use of it, but with wisdom. That's why my son, very good. Yeah. When he was college, first year, what, I think he liked somebody. Yeah. So what happened was, that time infatuation, my young, don't know. So he wanted to surprise her by offering, I forgot, 300 bouquet of roses. 100 roses, not 300. Then he asked me, should I do it? I said, up to you lah, you use your own money, no need to ask me. And you know what he told me? I know that this is foolish, but if I don't do it, I grow up already got money also useless. I cannot experience this moment already. Understand? That is wisdom. No? I say, wow, go ahead. I volunteer to fetch him there. I become the driver. That is life. Understand? No? Whatever that can give you the condition to do while you are, like my daughter, very good. He before age 30, he told me he want to adventure. He want to climb mountain, he want to scuba drive. I say, go! Before 40. Then after 40, enough ready, come back, retire, stay with us. See? This one means got past understanding, got dhamma. So while you are still young, you have the condition when your parents can support you. For her case, I didn't provide any support. That one, all her own money, she earned one. And she go everywhere. That's why I told my wife, I said, don't worry. I said, let her. And everywhere she go, she very dangerous. Mount Everest also go. And everywhere the mountain climb, come back, sure earthquake. That's why you don't go after her. You want to go before her. But now she stopped already. For the last. So, make use of whatever Dhamma that you understand. Doesn't mean that whatever you cannot do, you don't want to let your children do. No. For me, I came in the 50s, first generation, I went through that. Then I appreciate what my parents do, especially my father and my mother. So that time, he only know education very important. And our IC, birth cert, very important. Nationality and all those things. So he taught me these 2 things. Then after that, I like normal first generation kid, I did very well in my academic. Then I came out to work. I also successful. But I have to waste 15 years to build up my financial freedom. To own a car, to own a proper house, and to have family. Yeah. So, when it comes to my children, you ask me, I told both my children, you don't have to be like me. Strive and all those things. You do what you like to do in life. You want to go university, academic, you go. I just fund your education. And whatever you want to do, you do. That's why she go and do what she wants to do before 40.
And my son also same. I say, since you didn't go overseas, he come and request from me after he graduate. He said, I want to go Australia, meet my classmates who are still there, not graduate yet. I said, go. He want to go there 1 month. Then Sui, after graduate, immediately, for 3 months, he don't want to work. He go and do what she like to do. And then later on, work for don't know how many years, travel to UK, using the special visa, Commonwealth country, before the age of 30. That is life, understand or not? Let them live. Then I say, since you didn't go overseas, I give you some money, because otherwise I have to spend more. So I give them 100,000 each, seed money, to invest. Then they pass to me to invest, they trust me. Then before they graduate, I already build up to 1 million. So that's how life can be if you have the understanding. So this is what you must have as understanding. Not only the one-sided view, everything not real, then don't do anything. No, there is such thing as life. Understand? No? You can live it. Make use of it. That's why I say if you have the means, pamper yourself. Understand? No? Then let your children have the freedom to do what they want to do. Then you know what happens. In future, you will have parents that will also take care of you like that, understand? No? Then you don't have the karmic debt affliction, understand? No? With all the haywire, wayang kulit going on in the family unit and all those things. Sui, yes.
Good afternoon, Claire Mithas. When we talk about this, usually I think one of the things that strikes is your parami is so good, that's why you can do all this. But actually, we mentioned about bosong, maybe I go over. So this actually, there's one point here that is very clear for me. It is the wrong thoughts. Because what are wrong thoughts? Thoughts are, these are thoughts that contain the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And the three evil roots are also called the three poisons.
It will kill you spiritually.
But in our modern society, this is not that clear.
Even
in the fire sermon, for us, it doesn't impact us.
Because
poison and fire, for us, is not so clear. I see it is they are scammer. Every time you bosong, your thought try to scam you. And if you really bosong, you're irritated, frustrated, you scam it. And what they scam you of? Your spiritual wealth. Parami poison. Your parami so good, that's why you're so lucky you can cultivate. Actually, every day you bosong how many times? Your spiritual wealth go down. That scammer now very scary. It's like you can give them your OTP your bank account got song already. So this is how I see it. That's why very scary. Every time you bosong, it's very, very scary. I think I see things this way because I have one miscellaneous vow in my Bodhisattva vows. I chant every night before I sleep. It is to recognize and abandon all wrong thoughts and understand clearly
Put that as your miscellaneous vow. Very good. You must learn how to recognize wrong thought. So now very easy. Every time you bosong, no need to say whenever you are not peaceful, not happy, then the wrong thought is there. Every time you bosong, then you know already. Whether you are having anxiety, fear, unresolved issue, first know a truth reality, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, means you cannot come to terms with the reality. You cannot accept what is, what happened. Means you don't have wisdom. If you have wisdom, whatever happened, that is the reality. We are conditioned like that, things will happen. So accept first. Doesn't mean you don't act after that. After you accept, then you act. You act with clarity of mind. You are not confused, understand? You didn't get angry. You didn't get emotional. You didn't point finger to blame. So all these are negative thoughts.
thought process that bring about suffering. That's why when you accept, you are at peace. Well, they are just the way they are. The world is the world. Condition like that, things will be like that. I get that stabilized in your nature. That every time when you encounter sense perception, this yoniso manaskara that is stable will come out and prompt you. He is the way he is. And then you will not react like before already. Then something happens. I am born of my karma, heir to my karma, conditioned by my karma. I accept. Then I ask for forgiveness. Understand? Do what you have to do. Then I vow not to repeat all this nonsense by following the advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil, the good, and purify that. This is how you cultivate. Then when you follow, you have merits. Then invoke power of merit for turn around. May this merit pave the way for me to recover from my disease, my sickness, or my negative karma. Help me break my karmic obstruction. Yeah. But the Buddha feel that it's more important to make that pure invocation of merits through Ipmina Punyang Kamena. More important for you to avoid the evil, or the foolish, and the deluded. Then meet up with the wise and the enlightened one so that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. So that one, that's why he teach you. But I realize Theravada tradition didn't teach you how to make use of this merit for other purpose. That's why I say I'm expert in Adityanivya. I know how to use all these things to invoke causes and conditions for recovery and help people. So all this is what Dhamma is. Well, these are in nature's law. As you cultivate, you see, you understand it, then you can help people. You can apply it. Okay, we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, good. Enough. At least we finished the main one. Sorry. Another few minutes. Dedication of merit and transfer of merit. So here, I include the last one. Including all our departed relatives. Understand now? So, cover everything. Then to all beings also you want to add. This is dedication and sharing of merits. Okay. Now we all do this. By the power of whatever wholesomeness that we all have managed to accumulate or develop through all the past few days retreat sharing, and especially of significance is our bodhisattva vow wholesomeness that we develop through understanding how this cultivation can bring forth or generate vast amount of merits. So we will share these merits with all beings, starting from the devas, the non-human Dhamma protectors, and all the great beings nature, together with the temple committee, the kitchen helper, Deng Xiong Sufu, the monks and nuns all, and also including all beings within the entire vicinity of Cameron Highland and Brinchang. And especially we will dedicate these merits to our departed relatives and also Samkayamita who have passed away. One of them is recently, Bhikkhu Dhammadasi. Then the other one is Brother Xia Qin Li. This is Nancy's husband. Then Sally Chong is Anne's sister. Anne, your sister, is it? Oh, so the sister. Yeah, Anne Chung's sister, right? You are the niece, Oh, okay. Then the last one is Kam Lan Che's mother. Then you can also recall to mind your departed relative, whoever. So with that, we will share merit and transfer merit. Akasata cha bhumata
Devanaka Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditva Chirang Rakkhantu Loka Sasana Etahavata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sambhi Deva Anumodantu Sabasimpati Siddhya Idang Menyati Nang Hotu Sukhita Hontu Nyatayo Idang Menyati Nang Hotu Sukhita Hontu Nyatayo Idang Menyati Nang Hotu Sukhita Hontu Nyatayo Devo Asatu Kalena Sasa Sampati Hetu Cha Fito Bhavatu Loko Cha Raja Bhavatu Dhammiko Imina Punyang Kamina Mahabibala Samagamo Sattang Samagamo Hotu Yava Nivana Patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we will disperse for